previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
You know, if there's anything I can do.
Oh, stop losing weight. That's what you could do. Wasn't that fun? As we inch closer and closer to a two-hour salute to Bette Midler.
And now, whether you like it or not, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. Go someplace where the laughs are free, and there are bad jokes and bad hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride, where we can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring, and occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
Week on Cliff and Kendall, we're talking Cinco de Mayo. Oh my God, again.
Oh,
Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, pass the Maya.
Cliff and Kendall.
Oh, Cliff.
Pass
how
it.
Much fun. Another Cinco de Mayo episode.
How much fun is what the listeners are thinking to themselves, or they might be saying it out loud, depending on where they are, if they're alone, if they're in an elevator listening on their iPod, they're probably just thinking to themselves, how much fun is this going to be? I'm glad I can listen to Cliff and Kendall in this elevator that I'm stuck in.
When I go hiking and I listen to our show, on my iPhone, I scream out in the wilderness, this is so much fun! 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 And people think I'm just really energetic about exercise. little do they know.
They don't know, Kendall, that there's not enough oxygen flowing to your brain at that moment. It's being cut off by fat globules. Kendall, it's another Cinco de Mayo here on the air with our listeners. Too many to count back in the past. What's your favorite thing? Now, let me first comment.
What's my favorite Cinco de Mayo memory?
No, think about it while I say these other things. Think about that question.
just remain quiet over there, Kendall. Think while I talk.
First, meant to compliment you on your sombrero that you're wearing.
Oh,
it is
thank
so
you.
Big.
I know Charles, people to make
the
it.
Contractor was in here. He had to sort of widen the head space for you over there. Mm-hmm. Had to move a few things around so you get the sombrero in.
He had to put up scaffolding just to get it up.
It's worth it for how big it is to sit in the sawdust for a week. It's well worth it. I compliment you. And now, what was your favorite Cinco de Mayo memory?
Are you really going to ask me that?
No! What's your favorite thing about Cinco de Mayo?
Oh, okay, because you're like, I'm going to ask you something, then I'm going to say these other things, and I kept waiting to
I assumed
ask
you would eventually volunteer your favorite Cinco de Mayo memory, and I would not have to elicit it from you.
Cliff, my favorite Cinco de Mayo memory was when we did the other Cinco de Mayo show. I hope to make a new Cinco de Mayo memory by going out and having some tequila.
What a beautiful memory that will be.
What a wonderful world it will be. Cliff, do you remember from our many Cinco de Mayo shows why we celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
Kendall, does it have anything to do with Mexico and the Puebla?
It does. And that's all I have to say about that. No, it commemorates the Mexican army's victory over France.
Oh, I love it. I love the victory and the glorious defeat and eventual re-rise of France.
Whatever day that we conquer fat and we have victory over fat, whatever day that is, like if it's the 3rd of November, it's going to be like Trace de Novembre. That's going to be our new holiday. That's going to be our new holiday.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's decorated. Mrs. Potter Butterchurn came in this morning. She decorated the studio in here with red, white, and green balloons and streamers. Yep. Everything looks like the Mexican flag threw up all over the place. It looks great. I love it. It's very festive, Kendall.
Now, have you, I just want to remind you, Cliff, that Mrs. Potter Buttercher, you know, she's running for chair of the decorating committee again. And, you know, we need to turn our votes in to the board of directors for that online voting.
We'll go to QuizCom and we'll vote, which is where they asked us to go. I almost binged on a big bowl of tortilla chips coming in.
Oh.
Into the studio before the show started, but Charles is a contractor. I went in to get a chip, and I thought, oh, I should go get a drink from the office. I went out to get a drink. By the time I got back, the whole bowl gone. Charles the contractor standing there, chip dust all in his beard stubble, and in disgust and extreme hunger, I turned around and walked out.
Cliff, I have a confession to make.
This is your confession. Yeah.
Well, you know, I weighed in today, which I was challenged. And after the weigh-in, I did have some of those chips that you didn't have any of. And I had a huge honking burrito that hurt. It was bigger than my sombrero. It was enormous.
That must have been when God a huge burrito, because it's sombrero.
If you can picture it. If you can picture it.
Brushing my head, and everybody's head. You're practicing. Mr. Stumpbomb's not even in the room. You're brushing his head with this sombrero you got on.
If you could picture a burrito bigger than my hat right now, that is what I ate for lunch today. I was so ashamed. I had to leave the studio and go down to the Mexican district downtown to eat this burrito.
Kendall. I don't even know what to say about our weight loss, except to tease it that the Chubby Challenge results are coming up after the break.
People are so excited. It's so exciting.
Don't turn away now if you enjoy laughing at the failure of others. And Kendall, that is not a joke.
Please let it be a joke. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Cliff.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you and to you, listener at home.
Lord asked if that's so. Cliff, there was a shoe salesman sitting in the store when a beautiful woman comes in, Cliff, and he looks at her and he cannot stop staring at this beautiful woman.
While helping
her try on a pair of shoes, he glances up and Cliff, he finds that she is wearing no underwear.
Oh my God.
So Cliff, he starts having unhealthy thoughts. And then he said, I'd like to fill your vajayjay with ice cream and lick it all out. And hearing this, Cliff, as anybody would do, she did that. And then she runs out of the store. She goes up to her husband. She says, honey, this shoe salesman said he'd like to fill up my vagina with ice cream and lick it all out. Now go kick his ass. And the husband said, dear, anyone that can eat that much ice cream, I ain't messing with him. Now, I could take this guy out because I eat that much ice cream. I mean, not out of a vajayjay, but I ate that much ice cream.
Kendall, just the only reason there should ever be ice cream in a vajayjay is if you are taking it out of a Freddy Krueger nightmare.
You're just passing through. Like, well, the good side of this nightmare is there all this ice cream.
Yeah. Kendall, little Sally, she accidentally walks in on her father going to the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Shocked, she runs to her mother and cries, Mommy! Mommy! Daddy has a big, fat, ugly worm hanging out of his wee-wee.
Whoa.
Oh, God. Comforts the mother. That's not a worm, sweetie. That's a very important part of Daddy's body. If Daddy didn't have one of those, you wouldn't be here. And now that I think about it, neither would I.
Oh.
Whoa, Daddy.
Slut.
A descendant of Mr. Ed.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
Of course, of course.
Cliff, during her annual checkup, this very beautiful woman was asked to disrobe and climb on to the examining table. Doctor, she replied very shyly, I just can't undress in front of you. And he says, all right, well, I'll flick the lights off. You undress and tell me when you're through. And in a few moments, her voice came out of the dark and says, Doctor, I'm undressed. What should I do with my clothes? And he said, put them on the chair on top of mine over there.
Oh, no.
He's going to lose his license.
Oh my God, up in her vajayjay.
He's gonna get him some ice cream and he's gonna lose his license.
Two law partners, they hire who else? A new cute young secretary. and a contest arises between them as to who can bed her first, even though they're both already married. If you can believe such a thing can happen in today's society.
Eventually, one
of them scores with her, and his partner is quite eager to hear how things went. "So what did you think?" asks the partner. "Ah," replies the first partner, "my wife is better." And some time goes by and by, Kendall, and then the second lawyer
in the suite
also goes to bed with the secretary. "So," asks the first guy, "what did you think?" And the second guy replies, "You're right.
Your wife is better."
Much better.
Sluts!
1, 2, and 3 and 4 in that joke.
Sluts. Cliff, a man and a woman have been married sometime. It's probably the same man and woman you're talking about.
When the
woman begins to question her husband, she says, "I know you've been with a lot of women before. How many were there?" And the husband said, "Look, I don't want to upset you. There were many. Let's just leave it alone." And the wife continued to beg and plead and nag. And finally the husband gave up and he said, "All right, let's see. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You... 8, 9, 10. Secretary's the boyfriend.
Secretary of State, Secretary of the Interior, Secretary of the
Press.
She was
the Secretary of the Interior, all right.
A man. Kendall goes to the doctor and tells him, "Doc, I'm having a really hard time controlling my bladder." And the doctor says, "Get off my new carpet now." And a woman blamed her housekeeper.
That was my doctor's appointment.
Yeah, your urologist. Kendall, a woman blamed her housekeeper for the loss of her underwear in front of her husband. And the housekeeper turns to the woman's husband and says, "Sir, you are my witness. You know I never wear the panties."
Ooh.
Said the hipster to the beautiful chick he just met, "Have you ever been picked up by the fuzz?" She answered, but it really hurts.
Cliff,
you got picked up by the fuzz.
You just went through 3 jokes. You were paying no attention to my needs over here.
Those are the Holy Trinity, Kendall. Cliff, you gotta do the Holy Trinity.
"That wife of mine is a liar," said the angry husband to a sympathetic pal sitting next to him at the bar. And he says, "How do you know?" He says, "Well, she didn't come home."
"How do you know?
He said, "She didn't come home last night. When I asked her where she'd been, she said she spent the night with her sister Shirley." And the guy said, "So?" And he says, "So she's a liar. I spent the night with Shirley."
Oh, my God. Kendall, why is it Extramarital Affairs Week in Bad Joke
Land? I don't know. I don't know. Strike us down.
I don't know. I got to have a break from all this.
Oh, God. All this marital affairs. I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
I have to see if there's one tortilla chip left in this whole building.
Oh, trust me. There's not.
There's not.
I've wiped it out.
Don't go anywhere. Cliff and Kendall are just getting started.
Los Broncos de Laredo, rumbo al campeonato. Del 15 al 23 de agosto, 10 juegos consecutivos en Laredo. El martes 15, boletos, cervezas, bebidas y comidas a solo $2. El miércoles, las damitas entran con solo $1. Hot dogs y margaritas, $1. El jueves, cerveza, soda de fuentes y margaritas a solo $1. El viernes, últimos juegos pirotécnicos de la temporada. El sábado, los primeros 500 asistentes se llevarán muñecos del equipo de los Broncos. Los juegos comienzan a las 7:35 de la tarde en el campo de los veteranos. ¡No se lo pierda!
I just finished my breast exam. Let's get back to the show.
Oh, we're back, Cliff.
Oh, we're
I'm
back.
So sorry there were not any tortilla chips. I did manage to find a half-eaten granola bar in the storage closet.
Oh, good. I was eating salsa by the spoonful, and I kind of grossed out.
just plain salsa. Well,
just salsa.
When you're fat, you will go to any lengths to get food in your system.
God, don't tell me. I know. I know.
And speaking of all this obesity, this is our new drum roll for the Chubby Challenge. It's time to find out who's lost the most weight or who's gained the least. It's the Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast Chubby Challenge. Oh, it's so exciting, isn't it, Cliff? to reveal how terrible we are doing every week on the show.
It is.
Are we flipping a coin, or a vitamin C packet, or
you
want to flip my sombrero hat?
Yeah, you flip your sombrero. Don't flip the sombrero because it might shut down the whole operation here. Flip something else.
Here, I have a.
another old stupid question here.
Okay, flip it.
On the front,
flip the script.
It's the actual stupid question. The back is nothing. So front or back, Cliff?
All right, I'm going to take front.
It's the front, asshole. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
No. What was the point of flipping if I get to decide anyway?
It's your choice when you flip.
Oh, I had no idea.
It's like football. I know you don't watch football, you don't understand it, but you flip to have the ability to say, we're going to take the ball or they get the ball. Hey, you made up the flipping challenge thing here.
What? Oh, somebody was explaining the rules of football to me. Kendall, I have to let down our listeners.
If we are going to flip next week, can we please, for the God's sake, get a real coin in here? Becky, for God's sake, or what's your assistant's name?
Austin.
Or
Alex.
Mr. Snodbottom, somebody, for God's sakes, we're running an organization here. Let's get a real coin. All right. Who do you want to go first, Cliff?
I'll go first.
Okay, it's about time.
God.
Tell me how much you gained. Well, I mean lost.
Okay. Okay, math major, I lost. Negative 0.4. Oh. And we all know minus negative is like plus a positive.
It's a double negative. It's a double standard, Cliff.
I gained 0.4.
All right, Cliff. You remember that time last week when I told the story about the tortoise and the hare?
I do. Vividly. And the week before. And the week before that, probably.
This is the beginning. Or this is not the beginning. This is the middle of the story where the tortoise starts to overtake the hare. Cliff, I lost 1 pound this week.
Awesome. Good job.
Now, if we're going to get into specifics, I didn't know we were doing points. I thought we were just rounding to the whole thing. So last week, I actually gained 0.1, but I just said I didn't lose any. So this week, I actually lost 1.1.
Oh, good job, Kendall. Let's say your... So that brings you up to a total of how much?
2 pounds lost.
Okay, good job.
And that brings you to what? 20 pounds lost?
9.4, but you know what? Next week,
counting?
Buddy, who's counting? Not me. Not right here. But I just want documentation for the episode 250 when we begin planning the Bette Midler tribute hour. I want documentation.
Let me tell you how unconfident I am in me losing weight, because the other day
you're learning the harmony to Wind Beneath My Wings already.
The other day I was thinking as I was weighing, I was like, you know, 2 hours of Bette Midler's not that bad. Could be worse.
Lisa, don't even fucking pretend that you wouldn't love 2 hours of Bette Midler. You made me throw in this whole context.
I'm throwing it just for the mere fact that I want to hear 2 hours of Bette Midler.
Just
how can
Midler,
I fill two I'm hours with magic, Cliff? How can I do it?
I was going to call it Magic Midler.
See, if we both gain 20 pounds collectively, we'll just call it Magic Midler, and that'll be the whole episode.
No, I swear to God, I'm back on track. Back on track, back in school. No, I'm going to be going downtown with the weight department. I promise you this, and really, in all honesty, and then we'll move on.
Finally.
I'm lucky. For all I totally have gone that far, I was so happy when I saw that. And Mr. Snodbottom, he didn't get why I was happy when he was there documenting the weight.
When he was like, Cliff, my boy, you gained like 20 pounds. You're like, you don't know. It could have been so much worse.
It could have been. Right now, in honor of our potential weight loss, the potential that lies inside of us,
yeah.
I'm going to eat a fiber bar. It's kind of like the smoke them if you got them. I'm going to eat them if I got one.
You got them. Well, oh, God. It's hard to keep a train of thought when that's coming at you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, thank God for covering it that time. What was I going to say?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me vamp here for a minute while you're eating that fiber bar.
Vamp, because we'll just raise that skirt a little higher, show a little leg, and that's what is really weird. Are your legs? They're so fucking weird.
Oh my God. It's time for Kendall's Weird News! I did have something important to say. Hopefully it comes back to me. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was going to say I was hoping you'd gain like 12 pounds. But that's malicious, so I should.
Cliff, this is a friendly contest.
The Monell Chemical Synthesis Center in Philadelphia recently won a $36,000 grant to study the genetic basis of trimethylaminuria. Otherwise known as the disorder that causes sufferers to smell like dead fish.
Oh.
The first case reported in medical literature was in 1970, but according to a New Science report, an ancient Hindu tale describes a maiden who grew to be comely and fair, but a fishy odor ever clung to her.
Uh-oh.
Cliff, why are they getting grants to study fish-smelling diseases and not cancer? Or obesity, for God's sakes.
Obesity, or in baldness, is what I'm talking about.
I would rather be skinny with hair and smell like a fish, for God's sakes. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, Cliff. After the year-old house cat, Sugar, survived a 19-floor fall at a Boston high-rise in March, an Animal Rescue League official explained to MSNBC that extra fur where the legs attach to the body enables cats to glide and partially control their landing. Huh. Research, again, that was displaced and could be studying obesity, suggests that steep falls are thus easier to survive as cats have time to spread themselves out, sort of like we would. And the 5-year-old cat Demi survived a 40-minute tumble dry, 104 degrees, in England in March, although she did need oxygen and fluids and steroids to recover.
Oh my God.
Jennifer Parker, 45, tossed her load of clothes in unaware that the cat was in the pile. How terrible would that be?
That is awful.
You dried your cat in the dryer. Cliff, a 41-year-old man, meow, was treated with antivenom at the USA Medical Center in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, Kendall, they got a new use for sheep in Mobile, Alabama.
You know, I told that joke at a party. It's hilarious. It was somebody from Alabama. It was great. In March, after this guy was bitten by a cottonmouth when he got the antivenom, the man said he had seen the snake at an encampment, beaten it to death with a stick, decapitated it, and then at that point, according to the man's friend, he for some reason started to play with this animal's head, and the dead snake's teeth still contained the venom. So he had killed the snake, and while he was fooling around with it, it stabbed him, and he got poisoned by this snake. Isn't that ridiculous?
That is ridiculous.
Idiots in Alabama.
Anything.
Speaking of Alabama, Cliff.
Oh, God. Idiots.
James Davis.
What about
James Davis of Stevenson, Alabama, vowed in April that he would forever resist a judge's order that he dig up his late wife's body from his front yard and rebury it in a cemetery. He, like us, said, "I'm in it for the long haul," promising to wait out the authorities. "I don't have much to do but sit around and think about what's going on."
Oh my God, we don't have much to do except sit about what's going on our bodies in terms of new pounds.
And eat. And Cliff, that's all the weird news that I have for you.
Weird.
How fun was that?
The listeners are saying out loud, "That was so much fun."
Yay, it was so much fun.
It was so much fun, Kendall.
I'm just glad we're helping them.
We're helping people. It's my favorite part of the job.
And we know it's your favorite part of the job, so why don't we help a few more people if we can?
Let's help them. However we can. Whatever way we can.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Ask Cliff and Kendall.
Oh, ask us. Just ask us.
Cliff, you want to start us out this week?
Yeah, I've got a letter here. Alex just brought it to me.
What is his real name, for God's sakes? You don't know it.
Austin.
I thought it was Austin. I said that earlier, and you said Alan, and then you said Alex. Poor child doesn't even know his own name.
Poor child.
You've confused him. See, I'm nice to my assistants.
Uh-huh. Dear Cliff and Kendall, I work in a hospital. And I'm sick and tired. Oh, funny already, listener. I'm sick and tired of people bombing us with their perfume cologne at levels as suffocating as tear gas. Many patients here have breathing difficulties, such as emphysema, COPD, and asthma.
Oh.
I don't know why they wrote down their belches. Possibly this letter was just dictated and not read. The listener says, I just realized I don't actually have a question.
He's like, take this memo.
Yeah. It's a busy hospital worker. I've got a statement, Cliff and Kendall. Please tell your untold numbers of listeners to have some consideration for their fellow man and stop at one squirt if they must use at all. If we can smell you before we see you, or if we're still suffering from the parfum-induced migraine you caused long after you're gone, then you used way too much, which is underlined. And that was signed, Wonder Nose in Winnetka.
Cliff, Kendall. I would like to personally thank Wonder Nose because I share his frustration, and I'm glad that he's bringing a light to this situation because I have a very sensitive nose, and I can't stand to smell extreme like perfume. And even one time, not too long ago, we went to see the Hunger Games. Susan and I went to the Hunger Games, and and we didn't do that. We left that out of the evening.
That was PETA trying to save Katniss.
Yeah, and so we went to this theater that is like a special theater. It's only 40 seats. It's like recliners, and they bring food to you. Because I was like, it's a once.
You and the other 1% were there.
It's a once in like a year thing to do when you see a movie you really want to see.
I was eating garbage in the dumpster.
So anyway, we went there. I'm trying to enjoy my theater-going experience with the rest of the 1%. And this woman behind me had the strongest smelling, awful clone. I almost went to the manager and like, you've got to move us somewhere. It hurt me. It's like stung my throat. I hate it. Thank you, Wonder Nose. Thank you.
Well, good for you. Now, see, I like strong smells.
Not all of them.
I was reminded of a substitute teacher that I had in high school named Miss JoJo, who was a copious perfume user. But I always liked it. It was very comforting to me. I thought, you are here and you just smell so good. I love it.
I mean, I do like when this is a very debated topic right now.
Hotly debated. It's up for debate. This is not even hot subjects. This is Dear Living. If people are like, what segment even is this?
We don't know either. I do like when people smell good, and I happen to have you have like a sense memory when you like smell something, you're like, oh, that reminds me of this, or oh, I like that person a lot, so when I smell that smell, I think of that person, I like that.
But
I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people that just overdo it with super strong, awful Axe body spray and flowery, awful terribleness.
Oh, for sure. Flowery, awful terribleness is terrible.
I know, right?
What do you have to say to the listeners?
You mean what the person I'm going to help has to say?
Uh-huh. Of course, you know, every person who writes in to us is merely representative of tens of thousands who have the same problem, who also need the help, who also don't know what to do, and are tired of being bombed with perfume.
Dear Cliff and Kendall.
Yeah.
I'm a woman in my early 30s. When I was a teenager, boys never looked my way. But since my early 20s, nearly every guy I've had friendly contact with has fallen in love with me. I have been proposed to 6 times. I was married twice and hated it both times. I have been single for a few years and love it. I have mostly avoided men during this time because I didn't know if any man would want to just casually date me. I started dating again about 6 months ago and have been seeing a man who is fantastic. He's the kind of man I've been looking for. Kind, even-tempered, well-spoken. He doesn't belch like you guys do. No, I'm kidding. She didn't write that. She loves our belches. He has...
she did write that.
He has hinted at marriage, and I am terrified because I'm afraid that I will lose myself. I enjoy my life the way it is, but I'm worried that eventually I will want a partnership, and this would be the man for me. The idea of going to the next level makes me want to end the relationship. I'm afraid I can't commit to this man. Certainly no other man would have that chance. How do I know if I'm better off single where things are good, or take a chance on another marriage where things may not turn out so well? Is marriage for everyone? Happily single for now. What do you think?
Marriage is not for everyone, but don't fool yourself that getting married is some sort of other level of anything. All you have done is signed a document, the same as when you buy a car. If you consider that being on another level of living, like everybody who drives, the bajillions of people worldwide, if you consider that on a different level of the 12-year-olds who don't drive, then maybe you think that there's some distinction there. But you can always get divorced. This is the 20th century. it's or whatever century. Who even gives a shit?
We don't know the segment. We don't know the century.
I worry not about problems like yours. Should I get married? I'm just saying it doesn't matter. You are the spirit inside of you. You're not this big fat body that you probably inhabit. If you identify with us at all, I just think that you just got to get over it. It's not a big thing. Do, don't. If you love him, if you think this is a partner, do. If you don't, then don't.
Well, I had a
let it go.
Slightly
go,
different thought.
Go, go, go.
Okay. I was going to say, why do you have to get married?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who gives a shit?
Don't worry about getting married. There's no real difference. If you love him and he loves you, you can be a partnership for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
Goldie Hawn did it.
She did to her dying days. That's what I say. Who cares about your problem?
Yeah, your favorite part of the job used to be helping people. Now you don't give a shit.
I do give a shit, Kendall, but there are just so many worse problems than whether this one listener... I just want her to know, look up into that night sky.
Like smelling perfume. So much worse.
Listen, I don't give a shit about perfume either. I do feel I have more sympathy for people who have terrible migraines from any source. Because I was not aware until I read the Roseanne Barr, Roseannarchy book, that she is highly allergic and gets terrible migraines from, like, perfume use. She is definitely on the side of Wonder Nose in Winnetka, and that's perfectly fine because I have such terrible sinus constantly I feel bad. I understand, like, oh, I wouldn't want you to get that from my use of CK1. And so...
Well, that's why I was on his side.
I get it.
So, that's all the time we have for Don't Ask, Cliff and Kendall.
Don't ask, we won't tell.
All right, Cliff.
All right, Kendall.
That was fun.
That was great.
And we helped so many people.
Great.
I think that helps more people than anything.
The story here is, listeners, if you have a little tiny problem like those, don't bother. Give me some juicy problems to work with. All right, let me really stretch and find out how much I can really help you. I'm putting in a call. If you could, listeners, this week, send us some juicy problems. We will do Dear Cliff and Kendall next week, and we will help you again. But it's got to be a juicy problem, or I'm not even sticking my hand into the mailbag.
Wow, somebody's joining the 1% over here.
Cliff, I think you're rubbing off on me. It must be that smell of money.
Cliff, I picture all of our listeners sitting in their workplace environments, and every time you belch, they just do a big spit take and spit stuff all over the office. And some poor janitor is going to have to clean that up.
And what do they do when you belch, pray tell?
They're like, oh, I don't, that must have been Cliff. I can't really tell. Kendall would never belch on the show. He would never do that.
Oh, right.
Cliff, and that is sad.
That is sad that we would do such a thing to the listeners. But as I said last week, haters gonna hate. If we wanted love, would we do this kind of show that we do? No, we do the show that we do because it's real. It's real.
It's real and in your face.
In your face and in your ear, coast to coast, across America.
Our fat is in your face if we're standing 10 feet away from you.
Oh, God. The Grinch wouldn't need a 10-foot pole to touch
I wouldn't touch you
us.
With a 10-foot section of my fat, Cliff. If our listeners want to know more about Cinco de Mayo or perfume...
There's nothing left to know. If we haven't
there's nothing touched left. On it all. If you'll know more about perfume or marriage, go to cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, give us a call on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT.
Why don't you do it, Kendall? I've got
I've been asking that for quote? 5 years. Why don't they do it? Cliff, tell me your quote.
Alcohol preserves all except employment, and that's just a Mexican proverb.
Well, it preserves my employment. Everybody I work with drinks. Cliff,
whoa.
Drinking a margarita filled up with Patron tequila Happy Cinco de Psycho, everybody. And that was Dahiv Vanity.
Happy Cinco de Psycho to all.
And to all of that.
Who wakes up early? God will help. And that's just another Mexican way of saying the early bird gets the worm. Kendall,
tequila worm.
The tequila bottle.
Cliff, yeah. I went on a diet, swore off drinking and heavy eating, and in 14 days I lost 2 weeks, and that was Joe Lewis. That's our story.
Oh, God. Kendall, this is also our story to bad times, good face. Be positive in negative situations, and that was another final.
That sounds like
Mexican
an episode
proverb.
Of our show.
Bad times, good face. I think that's, write that one down, Mr. Snodbottom. Put it on the list. At this point, that's going to be in the episode of the thousands, but we'll eventually get around to it. We've got a long list of things to cover, everybody.
Our listeners can't wait till we hit 1,000.
Pounds or episodes. They don't know which is coming first.
They coincide. They coincide. Cliff, take us home before we hit 1,000.
Take me home. I don't know how to say
Sombrero Road.
Anything in Spanish.
I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
Buenas noches.
Did you say nachos?
I did.
Get Becky on the phone. I want some nachos.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.
All right, Cliff.
All right, Kendall.
All right, Cliff.
All right, Kendall.
All right, Cliff.
All right, Kendall.
All right, Cliff.
All right.